Welcome and thanks for tuning in to the Restoration Foursquare Church podcast. We are so glad that you are listening in with us today. For today's podcast, Pastor Angela Lake continues our Sticks and Stones series as she teaches on the topic of baggage or luggage. So prepare your hearts for a wonderful and powerful word from God. Enjoy and be blessed.
Everybody doing?
Good, good, good. Oh, what a blessing this morning.
You ready for the word?
Yes.
Hallelujah. The curtain goes up in the eighth chapter of the book of John, and here is the account. Early in the morning, Jesus came again to the temple. All the people came to him, and he sat down and he taught them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery, and placing her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman has been caught in the act of adultery. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. So what do you say?" Father, I thank you for the word this morning. I pray that my tongue would be like that of a ready writer, that I might write your heart to your people today. Hide me behind your anointing this morning, God, so that your children hear your message. I submit myself to you today, and I say, sir, wherever you go, I'm right behind you. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 This is how the drama unfolds. Jesus is teaching the crowds. Suddenly, the sound of his voice is drowned out by scuffling feet, angry voices, and the men are elbowing their ways through the crowd, and they're dragging a woman. Yes. They elbow their way rudely through the courtyard, and they make their way to the center where Jesus is, and they throw this woman at his feet. Now, we aren't told much about her other than I suspect she's weeping. She's terrified. She's disheveled. We aren't even told if this woman is wearing clothes or not. The religious leader spoke, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women." This terror-stricken woman, she looked into his face. Can you imagine the fear as she waited and as the men pushed and shoved for an answer? And this broken woman, imagine this for just a second. Maybe you have a mess up and you are snatched up in the middle of it and brought to the sanctuary before all these people to expose you. That's what happened. Now, what do you say, they ask. I love this about my Jesus. He never responded. He never even made eye contact. They are throwing her under the bus. He never even acknowledges them eye to eye. This is what he did. He drops down. You know the story. And with his finger, he begins to outline letters in Aramaic. And I can just imagine the men, they're crowding in around him. What is he doing? What do you say about this? And he drops down and he begins to write. Yes. And they're leaning in and they're pressing in. And have you ever thought about the woman? She's waiting. She does not know what's about to happen. Right. He never spoke a word. And he writes. And they're pressing in. Well, what do you say about this? They kept reminding Jesus, women like this are to be stoned. What was he writing? What was he writing? The word to write in Greek is katagraphine, is graphine. That's not the term that was used. The term here was not graphine. The term here used in the Greek is katagraphine. That means, are you ready?
Yes.
Katagraphine. Write down a record against someone else. So while he's tracing, he's not talking about the woman. Why is he not talking about the woman? Because he knew their motive. Their motive was not to restore the woman. The motive was to expose her. He's watching the heart. I don't know what he wrote, but I can only imagine. Adulterer, glutton,
yes.
Liar,
yes.
Thief.
Yes.
He just continues. And it goes on and on. And how do I know that? Because they ask him again and he stands to his feet. He says, all right, then stone her. But let, watch this, but let the man who is without sin be the first to cast the stone. You want your pound of flesh? You insist on keeping the law scrupulously? Then do what you think that you must do.
Yes.
But only if you are blameless.
That's right.
And without sin.
Yes. Yes.
Jesus was raising the bar right here. Mm-hmm. He was saying, maybe you have not committed adultery. But have you ever considered it in your heart?
Yes.
That's what he's saying. Have you ever pondered the possibility in your heart? And if you never have, then you throw the first stone.
Yes.
Can I talk to you just a minute about throwing the stone? I want to talk to you about what that means. Well, we are told in Deuteronomy 17, Moses spelled out the procedure, and it sounds like this. There had to be two or three witnesses in order for a stoning to take place. The hands of the witnesses must, watch this, must be the first in putting him to death, and then the hands of all the people watching. That includes everybody. So the death penalty was carried out by having one of the witnesses throw the accused. Are you ready for this? See, we don't understand stoning. The first witness climbed up a scaffold. We're not told how tall that is, but my study says they climbed a scaffold and they dragged the woman with them up the scaffold. And then the first witness, they throw her from the scaffolding to the ground. The second witness, his job, don't ever be confused and think we're talking about pebbles or stones like rocks. We're talking about boulders as large as my car. The second person, you ready? Rolls the boulder off the scaffolding and onto the woman's body in an attempt to crush her to death. Whoo, that's a little graphic this morning. That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about throwing rocks at a woman caught in adultery. We're talking about death, throwing her from scaffolding and then rolling the stone to crush her body. Jesus knew the hearts of these men. He did not say that the woman had not committed adultery. Make sure you understand that. A lot of theologians get this a little twisted up. I think it's not about, he's not saying you did not do it, because she definitely broke the law to her husband and to the law. That's not the point here. He never talked about her sin while the accusers were there. So after reading what he wrote in the sand, he said, "You who is without sin and never pondered it in your heart, you roll the stone." Sheepishly, one by one, they bowed down. They backed away. Now, what if, that's a heavy story this morning. What if, before I opened my mouth, or before you opened your mouth, Janice, and spoke death over someone, or over yourself, or accused someone knowingly or unknowingly, you had this type of accountability for the words that you just released? Yes. Well, you do. Watch this. Jesus said, "But I tell you that men will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word that they have spoken. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." This means that a person's words will be the outward evidence of the inward heart. That's what he's saying. It's your character. Words are so important that we're going to give an account to God Almighty. The Apostle Paul wrote this. Watch this. "Let no corrupting or unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those that hear it." The Greek word translated here for unwholesome speech. You ready? Unwholesome speech. Rotten, foul, putrid. Rotten, foul, and putrid. He's saying, let no rotten talk come from your lips. Let no putrid words come from your lips. This ought to be a wake-up call when we're standing at the water cooler, friends. Not only should we not be listening to vulgarity and vulgar humor, we should not take part in any way, speaking or listening. Amen. I'm going to move right along. Okay, so Paul continues, "But only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those that hear it." There's a remarkable parallel between verses in Ephesians chapter 4. I want to show you something. Verse 25 says this, "Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." Verse 28, "Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with someone in need." Yes. Verse 29, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth." In each case, watch this, lying, stealing, and unwholesome talk. Paul is urging us to be a blessing. Christianity, watch this, is not just a don't do religion. Right. It's not about don't lie, don't steal, no corrupt talk. It's not just about that. Right. Watch this. Luke 4. As followers of Christ, we should emulate, watch this, the example of Jesus, whose words were so filled with grace that the multitudes were amazed. Let me tell you something about that verse. It wasn't what Jesus said. It was how he said it. Not what he said. How he said it. Now, my research shows me this. What we're talking about here is this. What he said was so connected and so married to his personality that the people saw his heart.
Yeah, that's right.
They saw his heart. It wasn't what he said. Yeah. It was how he loved, how he said it.
Yes.
Powerful. So in our silence, in our silence of not lying and not using corrupt speech. Think about it. May he see our heart.
Yes.
How many of you know that simply withholding words is meaningless if your body language is saying, you are inferior to me? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
The head cock, the eyes. You might as well say it. You might as well say it because you just did.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah.
Do you still love me?
Yeah.
Okay. I want to talk to you about another kind of silence. Since it's just us family here this morning. I'm going to preface this with, I absolutely adore my parents. I adore my parents. My father passed away 7 years ago. I adore my parents. But I'm going to share a very personal story with you this morning. And why am I doing that? Because I want you to understand why I'm the way that I am. Whatever that is. Whatever. I grew up in a home that was not nurturing. I never in my life heard, I love you, in my life, from my parents. Now, I adore them, so I'm not dishonoring them this morning. I'm just telling you the truth. I never heard, you are beautiful, you're a princess, in my whole life. They did the best that they could, but neither of them had role models. So they did the best that they could. Yes, they provided a home for me. They fed me. They clothed me. They did all of those things in the physical. But I never had life spoken over me.
Yeah.
So in high school, I began to date Jay, my future husband. And the first I love that guy. And the first time he said to me, you are beautiful, it kind of made me mad. Because I thought to myself, he was a very good guy, but I thought to myself, you're just saying that because you know I want to hear it. And the truth is, I'd never heard it. And he was saying it because the Holy Spirit prompted it. And it was what I needed to hear.
Yes, yes.
And then the first time he said, I love you, almost dropped me. Because I'm telling you the truth. I had never heard it. I'd never heard it. And I remember the day that I looked at myself and I'm like, you know what? You really are lovable. You're really not that bad. I just decided it. Not because someone confirmed it or affirmed me. I just decided it. So what do you think I did? I immediately went and told my parents I loved them.
There you go. There you go. Yeah.
18 years old.
Yeah.
I had never heard it. I was 18 years old, and I had never told my parents I loved them.
Wow.
I didn't know. I did not know. So I told them. Whew. There was a lot of tension for a while because they didn't know what to do with that. Did I mention that never in my lifetime had I heard them tell each other that they loved each other?
Wow.
I never saw them hug. I never saw them kiss. No affection at all. Just life. Pastor, just life. They were just doing life, trying to survive. So it has changed the way that I am. And I'm going to tell you, ladies, you know this. If you get anywhere near me, I'm going to tell you something great about you. I'm going to say, whoo, Miss Nance, you are rocking that hat. Whoo, Miss Marcia, I see the Holy Spirit all over your business endeavor.
Yeah.
Ruth Hudson, those legs.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm going to tell you something great. Janice, your eyes, you're gorgeous. I see the Holy Spirit all over you. That is why I'm probably a little over the top for some of you. But you know what? I don't ever want anybody to feel like I felt.
Come on. Come on.
And I just happen to know that everybody's not hearing what I'm saying.
Come on.
Because you've never heard it. How do I know that? I can see it in your eyes.
Yeah.
Please do not withhold life. We're talking about silence. I know we're supposed to be talking about words, but you can't talk about words if you don't talk about silence. Open your mouth and say what needs to be said. Do not withhold life. Encourage someone. You may be the only encouragement that person's going to get that day, that week, that month. Don't miss the opportunity. James, if she's gorgeous, you need to tell her, and you need to tell her often. Don't miss that. I'm just telling you, you start speaking life, you see what happens. You speak life. Maybe your circumstance doesn't look like life. Maybe your circumstance doesn't look like life. I don't care what it looks like. I do not care. You know what? If nobody else will speak it, you start speaking it. You can and you will. That sounded like Joel Osteen. But you know what I'm saying. Speak life, right? I'm going to move right along. Whew. Baggage. Things that encumber your freedom. Your progress. Your development. Your adaptability. Things that hinder those. You know, he acts just like his dad, who acts just like his father. Yeah. You're always going to be broke because your entire family's broke. Yeah. Well, you're just not as cute as your sister is, and you're not as smart either. And you don't run as fast as the other guys on the team, so I'm pretty sure you're not going to make the track team. Yeah. You know, our whole family... She comes from a family that's completely divorced. They're all divorced. They cheat on their spouses. Yeah. She's not a good faith partner, son. Don't marry that one.
Come on.
Huh. And so we carry and we carry and we carry what other people say.
That's right.
To the point you can't open your hand to Jesus Christ because your hands are so full and so filled with what you have decided is truth.
Yes, yes.
If you had not said that, he would not have left. Ma'am, you're just not qualified for the job. It is all your fault. The whole thing, it's your fault.
Angela.
And so you carry it until you can't carry it one more time, one more day. And you begin to take ownership of it because you see, you believed it. Everything that's been spoken, you believe it.
Yes.
Angela.
So when you hear his voice, you can't even respond because you can't get over what is in front of you. Are you following me? You can't get over it. You can't climb over it. You can't get through it. So you own it.
My daughter.
I'm telling you. If we take ownership of the baggage that is in front of us, it becomes an obstacle between our heart and his heart.
That's right. That's right.
I call that baggage claim. The next time, I travel a lot, and the next time you're in the airport, I want you to look at that. I'm going to write a letter. To Delta, I'm going to. You know why? Because I'm not claiming your baggage. I'm not claiming my baggage. They need to change that name. I'm just saying. I'm writing a letter. I'm tired of claiming the baggage. Why did I use vintage luggage? Because it starts generations back. And I want to tell you something else. We can do as much damage ourselves as they can do to us. Really? Yes. You look in the mirror, and I'm talking to the ladies, guys, don't listen to this. You look in the mirror in the morning and you see what you have decided that you hate. And you repeat it, and you repeat it, and you repeat it. And then you buy it. You can't even look in the mirror anymore. We do as much damage to ourselves as anyone does to us. So Pastor has been talking about words, what we're speaking. I'm telling you, we have to speak life. Yeah. We have to speak life. Yeah. We have decided that that still small voice must not be the creator of the universe. Because what we're doing is we're choosing to believe the baggage that someone else spoke over us. Maybe we spoke it ourselves, but we've picked that up. Rather than listening to the voice of God Almighty that comes in a still, quiet voice. Why have we paralleled quiet and still to powerless? I have no idea. But he created the universe, ex nihilo, meaning out of nothing. He did that out of nothing. He divided the water from the dry land. He produced a human out of dirt. Yeah. He raised Lazarus from the dead. He causes the enemy to flee. Do you think he can't speak into your circumstance? Yes. Jesus, his words are nothing but power. Yes. Yet we choose to hear what others speak. And what we speak over God Almighty. Yep. Jesus. You know, I travel a lot. I told you that. I travel a lot. And this is my favorite bag in the whole world. I love this bag. My husband bought it for me for a gift. I carry it every single trip I go on, and this is one of those bags that you will never see in baggage claim. Why? Because it's alligator. But look at James. He didn't even get that. I love you. He got it. But it's my favorite bag. I can't stand baggage. This is my favorite piece of luggage. It goes everywhere I go. It's never going to be checked. It's going to be on my person. That's right. Why is it on my person? Because when I'm traveling, I'm going to speak, and it has my most precious things in it. Yeah. It has my Bible, always. It has my iPad or my Mac, always. Always a pen, always notepad. Yeah. Glasses. And then it has necessities. Wallet? No. Wallet? It has my wallet. It has my passport. It has everything that I need. I choose to pick this one up and carry it. The Word of God is in it. So this bag, it shapes me, it molds me, and it defines me. Honestly, what's in this bag does, because it's where the Word of God is. That has the ability to mold you, make you, and define you. So what will you choose? It's really that easy. Regardless of where I am, I can open this bag. Regardless of how tired I am, regardless of what somebody just said over me in the airport, regardless of a phone call I just got and how burdened I am about a circumstance, I just start. I am the head and I'm not the tail. I'm above and I'm not below. I have a sound mind. I am forgiven. See how light? I am forgiven. I can quench every fiery dart that comes against me. I'm righteous because he says that I am. I am loved by the creator of the universe. I am not under guilt and condemnation. You just pull it out of the bag. Do you understand what I'm saying? I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I have the victory. My mind is being, stand up. My mind and receive it is being renewed by the word of God. No weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. And you just keep pulling it out. He is close to me when I am broken in heart. And he saves me when my spirit is being crushed. And he tells me to choose life. And he tells you, you ought to choose it too. Amen? Amen? So this luggage, I will not be claiming. This luggage, I will be carrying. Hallelujah.
And that's a wrap. Thanks for tuning in to the Restoration Foursquare Church Podcast.
We hope you were encouraged and empowered by today's podcast. Thanks again for tuning in. If you would like more information about our church, you can visit our website at www.r4sq.org. We pray you have a great week and God bless.